In our last session, we were talking about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And we read out of Acts chapter 19, where Paul found some certain disciples. And he asked them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because he said, well, if you didn't receive the Holy Spirit when you believed, what were you baptized into? And they said, into John's baptism, which John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, very similar to Christian baptism in the sense that we repent and believe before we're baptized. But it wasn't a baptism into Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ had not yet died for our sins and was buried and rose again. So when they understood that Jesus was the Messiah and his death for them availed for their sins by paying for their sins, they went into the waters of baptism and they were rebaptized. And then they were baptized another time with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit as Paul laid hands on them, and they spoke in tongues and they prophesied, which is a sign or an indication that the Holy Spirit had, that they had received the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to look at that today just for a few moments. They're in our church systems today, in a lot of denominations and even churches that claim to be a restoration movement, that we only let the Bible speak and we're silent where the Bible is silent. It's not true, because when they come to passages that talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, then they try to spin some kind of an interpretation into that so that they deny the power thereof. They deny the gift of speaking in tongues, prophecy, and many of the miraculous signs that we find in the book of Acts. So basically, they draw many of these denominations from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says in verse 10, "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." And they say, well, there it is right there. When that which is perfect has come. The Bible has come. It's completed now in its New Testament canon. And when that completion of the New Testament canon took place, then that which is in part shall be done away. All of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are done away with. Speaking in tongues, prophecy, the miraculous powers of God, and all of these kind of things. And that is totally an interpretation that is spun into a passage that it says nothing like that in the scripture. There's no way that you could put a Bible in someone's hand on an island without any commentaries, without any preachers, without any seminaries, and say, could you read the scripture and tell me what that says? There's no way they're going to get the interpretations that we have today in our religious systems that have denied the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the power thereof. It's just not possible. So what we see here is the very thing that some of these denominations and non-denominations claim, that they let the Bible speak and they're silent where the Bible doesn't speak, is not true, because they are spinning a interpretation into the passage that they picked up at some seminary, and therefore it's proclaimed throughout all of their religious churches or denominations and so on and so forth, because that which is perfect is come is not the Bible. Now, how do I know that? Because we have a complete book of the book of Corinthians, and when it was originally written, it wasn't written with chapter and verses. And we can read in the beginning part of Corinthians when the gifts of the Holy Spirit shall be done away. It says, it says in verse 12, "For we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." What? Face to face with the New Testament canon? Is that what it's talking about? When that which is perfect is come, we're going to see face to face. Is it face to face with the New Testament canon? No. What he's talking about is that when Jesus Christ returns to this earth to set up his everlasting kingdom in its full manifestation, and we see him face to face, there will be no need for gifts of the Holy Spirit. We will be with him. we know in part, and then shall we be we'll know even as we are also known. All right? So that which is perfectly come is not the New Testament canon. Can I prove it further? Yes, I can. So if we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and remember that these letters did not have chapters and verses, so if we take it in its entire context, the Apostle Paul will tell us exactly when these supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit will cease. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 7, so that you come behind in no gift. Did you read this? So that you come behind in no gift. It didn't say that there will be, gifts of mercy and gifts of administration, but supernatural gifts, those gifts are ceased and done away with. No. It said, Paul says, look, coming behind, he said to the Corinthian saints, coming behind in no gift. You have all gifts. Until when? Look what it says right here, 1 Corinthians 1, 7. Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the gifts of the Holy Spirit will cease when we're face to face with Jesus. They will cease. We will be with Jesus. We won't need partial gifts to help along the message of the gospel and these other things. We will be with Jesus. But until Jesus comes and sets up his full manifestation of his kingdom on this earth, the gifts of the Holy Spirit will be in operation until he comes. It's so simple. It's so plain. I don't have to spin an interpretation into this to make it say something that it is not saying. So many of our churches today are denying the power that we see in the book of Acts and in the Bible. When the Apostle Paul says that the gospel did not come with just words, and we've reduced it, the gospel, to just words, but it also came in demonstration of the Spirit. It also came in power. The kingdom of God came in power, not in just words. And so it's very important that we take the Bible for what the Bible is really saying. I find few people, they say they believe the Bible, they say they believe every part of the Bible, every verse in the Bible, but I find very few people that really believe everything that the Bible is saying. But if we would take it and read it and operate in faith, Jesus wouldn't have to make statements like he's made, that saying, when I come back, will there be faith? Will I find any faith? So let's talk about some of these gifts of the Holy Spirit that the church, many of churches have denied, and yet are so powerful for our Christian life. For instance, I was looking on a website because my wife and I was looking for some churches to attend here in Rogers, Arkansas. And so we visited various churches, different denominations, non-denominations, and different things. And we saw on this one website, I actually met with the pastor several times, but right on the website, it says, if you speak in tongues, you're not welcome in our assembly. Okay? What was all that about? Okay? There is only one gift that the Apostle Paul in the New Testament said to forbid not, and that was speaking in tongues. And the very gift that Paul said not to forbid was this exact gift that the church was advertising on their website. You are not welcome. Okay? You are not welcome. Paul said, forbid not to speak in tongues. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. It's a powerful gift, and no wonder the devil has tried to take it away from the church. What is its purpose? Well, in the book of Acts, its purpose was a sign gift to show that the Holy Spirit was in the life of that believer. It showed other people around, and it showed the person themselves that the Holy Spirit had come upon them. But there's more to it than that, and I want to take the scripture here and show you why you should have this gift and why you can have this gift, as well as the other supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because for one thing, Jesus said it. Jesus said in Mark 16, these signs shall follow the believer, not the apostles, not the New Testament canon, but these signs will follow the believer. And one of those sign gifts is they shall speak with new tongues. Everyone can have the sign gift of tongues, which is a supernatural ability to worship God from your spirit. And God, who is spirit, John 4:24, God is a spirit. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. Your spirit and God's spirit, worshiping God with your spirit, goes beyond your human intellect and ability to speak in your language. And you're connecting with God. Mysteries, it says. We're going to look at these things and see how important this would be in your life. But the churches have denied it. And really, my son said something to me. He said, Dad, I don't know if you should say that that was a doctrine of the devil, but I made a mention that the church is taking, kind of helped the devil out a little bit, you know, because they've taken something that's so powerful, a tool to worship God in such a powerful way, and taken it away from the people of God. Now, that does sound like the devil's involved in that. So let's look and see why this particular gift of speaking in tongues that was a manifestation and a demonstration of the Holy Spirit being in a person's life in the book of Acts when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, why is that such a powerful gift? Some people say it's the least of the gifts. No, it's not the least of the gifts. It's a powerful gift that Paul said he used more than any other gift. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. It is a powerful gift, and it should be used and exercised daily and hourly. It's powerful, okay? So let's look and see what that is. And hopefully this will quicken faith in you so that you'll be able to operate in this particular gift that God offers to every believer, as it says in Mark chapter 16. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says this, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not to men, but to the devil. That's what some of our churches are teaching. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue is not speaking to men, but to the devil. That's what some of our churches are teaching. It is not true. Thus saith the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue is not speaking unto men, but to God. Not to demons, not to devils, but unto God. For no man understands the words that he's speaking, howbeit in his spirit he is speaking mysteries. Now it says in the New Century Version, he says, you are speaking secret things through the Spirit. You are speaking mysteries unto God, secret things unto God. It's a powerful, powerful gift. Look what it says in the Message Bible. It says, for you are sharing intimacies just between you and God. No wonder the devil wants to take this away from the church and the people of God. You know what? Because he that speaketh in an unknown tongue is not speaking to men. Speaking to God, these divine intimacies just between you and God. How powerful can that be? That is powerful. Let's go on and read here in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 4, it says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, builds himself up, strengthens himself. No wonder the devil wants to take it away from the church. No wonder the devil wants to take it away from you, because in that particular gift, you are building yourself up. Notice what it says in the New Living Translation, 1 Corinthians 14:4. Says, you are being strengthened personally in the Lord. when you operate in that gift. It's spiritually edifying you. It's spiritually building you up. No wonder that the devil's, I could say the devil's advocates are really just taking away something that's very, very sacred between us and God. Then it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 14, it says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, it's a prayer language. My spirit is praying, my understanding is unfruitful. The New American Standard says, my spirit prays when I pray in an unknown tongue. It's my spirit on the inside of me that is connecting and worshiping and praying to God. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 16. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit. The New International Version says, if you are praising God with your spirit, you are praising God with your spirit. You are blessing with your spirit when you're speaking in tongues, and you're talking to God. You're not talking to men. You're not talking to the devil, the demons. You're talking to God, and you're worshiping, you're blessing, you're praising Him, and you're building, being built up, spiritually strengthened. It says here in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 16, also that you are giving thanks. Praise God. You are giving thanks. Verse 17 says, thou verily giveth thanks well. You're doing it well. You're operating in prayer and thanksgiving when you're speaking in tongues unto God. It says in the Contemporary English Version, you are worshiping God in a wonderful way. You are worshiping God in a wonderful way. No wonder the devil has tried to take it away from the church, because you are worshiping God in a wonderful way. And then Paul says this. He says, this is the message. He says, I'm grateful to God for the gift of praying in tongues that He gives us for praising Him, which leads to wonderful intimacies we enjoy with Him. I enter into this as much or more than you all. He says, I pray in tongues more than you all. I enter into this wonderful intimacies with God more than you all. It is powerful. It is so powerful here. And then Paul concludes this chapter in 1 Corinthians 14, 39, wherefore, my brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak in tongues. The New Century Version says, do not stop people from using the gift of speaking in different kinds of languages. Some of our denominations need to read their Bible. Don't stop anyone, Contemporary English Version, don't stop anyone from speaking in languages that others don't know. Such a powerful, powerful gift in worshiping, in intimacy with God, of building yourself on your most holy faith. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, 13, that we can pray that we may interpret, that understanding will come forth. And when we're out there ministering the gospel of the kingdom of God, this wisdom of God comes forth boldly. And I really think that you've prepared for that to happen in operating in this intimacy with God through praying in tongues. Consider this. And if you don't have this prayer language, ask God. It's available for you. How do I know? Jesus said so in Mark 16. God bless you.